Bible is called, and that's kind of a social pun on today's, I guess, young adult society. It used to be a pretty big fad on the internet where you'd find a post and they'd say, "Do you even lift?" And basically what it's referring to is weightlifting and muscles. If you don't know how to lift properly, you see it a lot in gyms. I've seen it a lot in the last couple of months moving from gym to gym, wherever I've been. But I think patience is a muscle. I think it takes time to grow. And we can look at this in several different aspects. I think everybody's got patience, but not everybody puts the work and effort into it to develop it. And just like, I mean, in losing all the weight that I've lost, and a lot of you were there with me through that experience in college, I've recently started trying to build muscle back, and I've realized they're two very different things. I'm really decent at the losing weight part. That's not a problem. Building muscle has become much more of a challenge for me in that aspect that you have to put in effort exceeding what you take in. In the past, I was able to take in a very small amount and work out a lot, and I would lose weight. Now, it's more of I have to intake just as much as I put out, if not more. I think with patience, we choose not to intake a lot. If you're like me and you know your limits of your patience, you choose not to test that very often. And probably for the betterment of most of the people around you, right? I mean, because if you're like me and I lose my patience, I'm going to go off on somebody. But I feel like patience is a muscle we need to work out. We need to exercise. Because if we don't, it's never going to grow past the point that it's already at. And a lot of people, I had this attitude for a while. I was like, I just don't have patience. If I meant to have it, I would already have it by now, but since I don't, I'm not going to worry about it. And that's not really how it works. Patience is meant to be built up. Patience is meant to take time to grow. And because of the way our society works, and we don't want to put that time in. I found that to be true in a lot of my sessions, especially like teaching this past year. Some of my students would just come up and be like, "I don't want to do this," or "I can't do this." That was the majority. And I would say, "Why can't you do it?" Like, "It just takes too much time. I don't have as much time. I can't go home and do this because it just takes too much work." And really, it wasn't a can't situation. It was that they didn't want to push themselves. They didn't want to try. So I think one of the main problems we have with patience is we don't want to push our patience. We don't want to try and see if we can handle a little more. A little bit more. And because over time, you're going to see that it isn't going to be those day-to-day struggles where you see the increase. It's going to be where you start at the beginning of a year, and at the end of the year, you can look back and say, "Wow, I'm really a lot more patient than I was a year ago with my kids or with my spouse or with my coworkers or with whatever." Whatever may be that thing that causes you impatience. I think we can look at Joseph in the Old Testament and see his struggle throughout life and the time it took and the patience it took for him to see God's plan for him come true. If you read Genesis 37, 27, and 28, you can kind of get a look at him being sold into slavery. And him even having those dreams in a couple verses before in chapter 37, verse 5 through 11, where he tells his brothers and his dad those dreams. He knew what God's plan was for him. He knew that God had a plan to make him great. But I doubt he ever imagined it would involve being sold off by people he loved and into a foreign country where he had to patiently work to get to the point where he was at. A lot of times we're like that. We don't see the end and result in time. We don't see that final plan, and therefore we get impatient. Because we know God has a plan, but it isn't falling in line with ours. So besides taking time to develop, we also have that we live in a kind of an instant gratification society. I mean, let's think about it. If you can't get food in less than 5 minutes, or I mean, it used to be for Domino's like 30 minutes or less and it's free to get to your house. I'm pretty sure it's like 10 minutes now, what we want. We expect everything really quickly. We expect everything without much effort and easily obtained. I think of Abraham and Sarah from Genesis chapter 16, where they're promised a child and Sarah decides that she's not going to wait for God to make good on that promise and gives Abraham her servant to be his wife, to have a child with. I think a lot of times we do that as well. Instead of testing our patience, instead of holding fast to those beliefs, we decide, well, we'll help God along a little bit. We'll let this, you know, play out, and this is the way that I think God wants it to happen, but it's really a lot of our own efforts put in. It may not be the way that God wants it. I feel like those efforts are usually doomed to fail. When we try to do God's job for Him, it usually turns out being worse than if we had just waited in the end. Well, I think about Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, how he instantly wanted that gift that God, that the apostles were providing, even willing to pay a high price for it. But that was not the way it worked. Money buys a lot of things in our society. Money's not going to buy you patience. Money's not going to provide you with the ability to talk with people and be able to handle things that stress us out. It's just not. It may be a good band-aid for a little bit, but it's not going to provide that long-lasting effort. I think another thing is we're too focused on ourselves. We don't really feel empathy for other people. I think about the waitress at the restaurant. You come in, you place your order. You know, 10 minutes go by. If you're with a group, you're going to have a good time talking to each other anyway. 20 minutes go by. You kind of begin to get a little antsy. You hadn't even got your drinks yet. 30 minutes go by. You're getting really frustrated because you're like, I'm in this restaurant. You're a waitress. Your job is to serve me. And you've taken a very long time. But we never usually think about how the waitress is feeling or what may have happened in her life that day that causes it to be so slow at work. What if she lost a loved one, but she still has to work? What if she's in an abusive relationship and that happened right before she came to work this morning? I think it's so easy for us to think about a me society and what's happening in our lives and how it's inconveniencing us, but it's not easy for us to look on the other side of things and say, you know what, it's okay. I understand you got a lot going on. I can be a little more patient with you because I can understand. I think about Job and all the suffering that he went through in the Old Testament and how easy it would have been for him to just say, all of this stuff is happening to me and I hate it and I hate God because of it. But he didn't. And we can see how easy it would be for him to relate to other people now who've been through sufferings, who have been through all the situations that he's been through. I mean, not a lot of people can say that. He lost everything. Then he was able to come back. And I never pictured Job as one of those people who forgot where he came from or forgot those instances that happened to him. I picture him being very empathetic towards others who have lost or who have suffered. And I think we should be that way. One of the final things I think that we tend to, why patience is so difficult for us, is because, like I said before, I have a plan and I like to stick to it. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, the author says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevail. Or I think about in James, where he says, today or tomorrow we'll go and do this, such and such, or this and that, and we don't even know we have tomorrow. We like to make a lot of plans, and I'm a very plan-oriented person. Like, when I wake up in the morning, I like to know what I'm going to do. I'm very rarely spontaneous, and that's something I have to work at. But I want to know, okay, I'm going to go this place to this time, and I approximately have this much time to do whatever. I plan my spontaneity. Yeah, so that's really sad. But when things go wrong with our plans, I find it we lose our patience like that. It's very, very instantly gone. And that's not good. We need to be able to accept that things aren't going to always go the way we plan. With my job situation, things were not going the way I planned. I had a very construed version of what was going to happen after I graduated or before I graduated. I really thought that I would have a job in the first few weeks of student teaching. That did not happen. I really thought that it would be quote-unquote easy based on all the extracurriculars that I had taken and all the stuff I'd done. No, that was completely wrong. It was by the grace of God that I get anything. But I had a very misconstrued plan, and because things weren't going the way I originally envisioned them, I was getting very frustrated and losing patience rather quickly. So we kind of talked about the few things of why I think it's so difficult, because of, you know, us not having, or us having an instant gratification society, us not wanting to take the time to build our patience. We're either too focused on ourselves, or we have a plan and it goes wrong. Those are all reasons why our patience gets tested or why we're not going to pursue more patience. But I haven't really told you why I think patience is so important to begin with. I think there's another quote by George Swinnick, who he says, "To lengthen my patience is the best way to shorten my troubles, and to lessen my patience is the speediest way to lengthen my pain." I think even in society and in a non-biblical standard, we can see the need for patience. Like this man said, it helps to shorten his troubles the more patience he has, the more he's able to take those trials that come and he's not used to. The less patience he has, the more pain he is willing or is going to endure. And I feel it's the same way for us. God wants us to spare ourselves from pain. Because by not having patience, by not working to develop that, we're ensuring ourselves to have more pain. And there are several verses throughout the Bible that mention that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 8, if you'll turn with me quickly there, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Got to make sure I don't say 1 Peter. I was going through my notes last night and I had 1 Peter written down. Very similar, but not the same. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, in my version it says steadfastness, but other versions depict that as patient. Adding these qualities to ourselves. And while all those qualities are great, I think it is important that he lays patience where he does. Right after self-control, and then moving into that with godliness. It means it's not going to be easy. I mean, I never expected, and I hope I never came across as the fact that patience is meant to be easy, because it's not. Patience is going to be a struggle. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort for us to develop. But I know that God wants us to have it. If we turn over to the book of Romans, we'll start in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12.
If I can get a hold of it, get more on my pages.
Romans 12 and verse 12, he says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." So again, we have another message of saying we need to be patient in tribulation. We need to be able to find patience. If you'll turn back a couple of chapters, Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, I really love this passage. I think it really personifies that we need to be able to wait. We need to be patient. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25 says the following, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager longing for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he has seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with patience for it." So we can see here that he's saying we're waiting for this coming back of Christ. We're waiting for all of these things to culminate. Not only ourselves, but the entire earth is waiting and longing. And I find it difficult to believe that if we can't even wait for our coffee at Starbucks for 10 minutes, we're not going to be able to wait for Christ's return. We're not going to be able to eagerly be patient and wait for him. Because I know how I felt when I was younger and people would tell me Christ is coming back. I'd be like, I'm sure he is. But not now. I mean, that was my whole mentality, was that I'm going to have a long and happy life and probably die, and then he might come back in another couple of generations. But we're not guaranteed that. We're not guaranteed any time at all. I mean, he can come back before I finish this lesson, which is about patience, so you might want to expect it to be a little bit longer. Sorry. But he could come back at any point in time. And we need to be patiently waiting for Him to do so. And I know it's easy for us to lose sight of, but Christ wants us to be waiting for His return, to be there willing and ready to say, "Here I am, let's go. And I've been doing these good things. I've been waiting for you, and I've been living a life that was hopefully pleasing to you because I know you're going to come back. I knew it, and I was ready for it." I think it's too easy for us to be like the people who are waiting for the wedding, and our lamp oil went out, and we had to go get some more, and He came while we were gone. Or if we're asleep and not ready when He comes in the middle of the night. It'll be sad if we don't have enough patience to make it through to the end. Turn over to the book of James really quick. In James chapter 5 and 7 and 8, I think it's another good analogy of being able to wait. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for his precious fruits from the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Now, I am fond of agriculture, so this really hits home to me, having to wait. And how many of you are planning on doing gardens? I know my parents are having a garden right now. It's been flooded out the last couple of days, but they're eagerly hoping that it is not too late for their garden. But they're putting in the effort. They're sowing those seeds. They're putting out that nutrients for it. They're letting that rain soak in, both the early and the late. And if the last couple of days, all day long. But they're waiting for those things, and they know there will be a reward in the end. And He's encouraging us to be just like that. To put in the effort, to try and be patient, to wait eagerly, and there will be a reward in the end. It's also one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you turn over to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, most of you probably already have this memorized, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. It is a fruit of the Spirit that is inside of us. If we are good, are doing these things and living a life, a godly life that Christ would want us to have, we will be producing patience. If we're not, need to examine ourselves. If it's not something we're striving to work on, I think we need to examine ourselves. I always think about Luke 16 and 10, where he talks about who can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much, but whoever is dishonest with little will be dishonest with much. And again, like I said a while ago, if we can't wait in line for something, if we can't even handle our day being put off by a highway worker. For those of you who don't know, I used to work at the highway department in the summer as one of those flaggers. Pretty sure that's like the most hated job in the world, because if you're trying to get anywhere, you instantly ruin someone's day. And I think they thought I did it on purpose, which is not the case. But I can remember so many times things that people did out of anger towards me as a flagger holding that stop sign. When in reality, I'm not trying to hurt them or halt their day in any way. I'm trying to help prevent another accident, prevent something from going wrong. And I think a lot of times God is that traffic person to us, saying, "Wait, stop." And we may not see what's ahead, what's on that bridge, or what's past that car wreck, but he's saying, "You need to stop. There are alternate routes that you can go. You can slowly proceed eventually, but right now you need to stop." But instead we get so angry at it. We need to be able to handle those smaller things. Start trying to handle those smaller patience tests. As in things going wrong in our daily lives. Plans not working out the way they should. So we can be able to handle those larger things as they come. Waiting for Christ's return. Waiting on that big job that's going to affect the rest of your life. We need to be able to wait for those things. So we've talked about why it's so difficult. We've talked about why we need to improve our patience. But I feel like to end it there would be an injustice to you all, because that's just bringing out an obvious flaw in all of us and then saying, "All right, good luck, everybody." I have a few things that I think will help us improve our patience, and I've kind of hit on a few of them already. But I think if we ask ourselves, what would God have us learn from the situation, it's easier to have patience. I definitely feel like God provides us with situations that test our patience, so we can relate to other people. I mean, think about it. How many of you have been waiting for a job? How many of you have put in application after application and still received nothing and eventually landed that job? And you can relate to people because of that. How many of you have had your whole life planned out and then something come in and it completely ruined that plan? For the better or for the worse. But you can relate to those things. And I know that Christ has given us these opportunities so that we can relate to other people. And I think if we look at the situation like that, it really changed my point of view on my job search when I thought about it from a perspective of, oh, maybe Christ is not giving me any jobs yet because I need to be able to relate to that to people down the road. Or maybe he saw this lesson and said, you need some inspiration for that, or else it's going to be kind of boring. You know, he has a plan. He's given us these opportunities to relate to people. And I think if we look at it like that, it'll give us an opportunity to not only increase our patience level that we have right then, but it can use us to help connect with other people. I think we need to start counting our trials as joys. And as the scripture read this morning in James, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience, and let patience have its perfect result. You may be made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James 1, 2 through 4. I really love those scriptures because I think it makes every trial that you suffer a lot more bearable. No longer are you simply having trials for no reason. You're encountering these trials and you're considering them joy because you know they're going to produce patience. And patience, once it's had its perfect and complete result, will make you perfect and complete. It's not like it's just something, a door prize or a consolation prize from Christ. This is us saying we need to work on this so that you can gain these characteristics. So you're able to relate to other people. You're able to handle other people. Because there may be a person in your life that you can reach, but they really test your patience. And I think we all know people like that. No names, please. Don't yell at me. But we all know people that test our patience. But they're probably in our lives for a reason. And you've heard the old joke where it's like, be careful what you pray for. If you pray for patience, you're going to have something in your life to test it. But that's not a bad thing. Maybe we need that desperately. Maybe that's one of the things that keeps us from being relatable to people. We need to make sure we start counting these things as joys, because if we do that, other people are going to see that. And when they see that, they're going to ask questions. It's going to change what they think about us and about Christ. We need to stop placing our own personal standards on other people. I'm the world's worst to do this. For example, other day at the Crawfish Bowl, Mr. Mickey said, be at the house around, let's say, 10. And I said, okay. My personal standard, I like to be early places. So on time for me, when somebody says 10, it's probably going to be like 9:45. If you ask someone like Randy, my cousin and stuff, they'll say 9:30. I like to be places really early. Now for other people, 10 o'clock, if somebody says 10, that's on time, 10 o'clock. For other people, somebody says 10, 10:15 is on time. I see all people looking at people, don't do it. But that's what I'm saying. Like, so many times I've gotten frustrated with people because I've said, he said be here at 10, it's 1 till 10 and you're just now getting here. Does that make any sense? No, I'm putting a situation where I'm bound to lose patience because I'm putting my own personal opinions onto all of you. And that's not cool. It's just, like I said, asking for me to get upset, asking for me to lose patience with someone. So be careful of that. Ask those questions. If someone says be there at 10 and you say, I'm probably going to be there at 9:45, everybody else is going to be able to know. You've got to understand that just because you believe something, just because that's your personal standard, doesn't mean it's everybody else's. And be okay with that. Accept that, because not everybody's going to be the same. Not everybody's going to have the exact same opinion about everything that you do. But I feel like that's okay. I think we can learn from that. I think the one that you've probably all been waiting for me to say since I talked about patience is that if we think about how patient God has been with us and look at what all he's done to save us, it's hard not to be patient with other people. Romans chapter 9, verses 22 through 23, if you'll turn over there quickly with me, I think really helps to solidify this. Romans chapter 9, verses 22 through 23. To set a little bit of the context, he's talking about being a potter, and that the potter doesn't have, or the clay doesn't have a right to say to the potter, you know, why do you make me this way? It is simply clay. And that the potter has the right over it. In verse 22, he says, "What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory?" I think it really helps to give us a perspective of how much God has endured. He's basically saying, what if God is patiently enduring these vessels of wrath, these things that cause strife and discord and punishment, so that through his vessels of mercy, good can come of it? And I can't count how many times that I have tested God in the fact that even since becoming a Christian, and we all do this, we continue to fall in sin. And I hate that, personally, because I feel like it's just spitting in God's face, but I know that as human beings, we're going to sin. It's just that Christ is enduring so much, and endured so much on the cross for us because he loved us. And I think love and patience are very directly related. I know for most of you, you probably have a little more patience with those people that you love, your close family, your children, your spouse, than you do for some random stranger on the street. Now, some days that might change based on what the spouse or children do, but that's neither here nor there. You have more patience for the people you love, and I think, like we talked about in class this morning, if we show that love, that agape love, that unconditional love to people, we're going to have more patience with them. And if we increase our patience, we're most likely going to increase that love that we have for other people. I think about Psalms 136 and how over 25 times in that entire psalm, it ends every line with, "His steadfast love endures forever." And I can easily relate that to his steadfast patience. His patient love endures forever. There's not going to be a thing you can do that's going to just overthrow that patience. That's going to say, you know what, that's the last straw. That's it. You're done. No more. There's not going to be a thing like that. God's patience is far beyond anything we can imagine. Praise God. Because if it was my patience, we'd all be doomed. And I think if any of us could say that, we'd all be doomed. You know, we always have room for more patience. To end off on the verses, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, we see one thing that helps me relate to God's plan and how God works, because I think it's easy for us to think, well, it's not happening in the month that I've been student teaching. It's not happening in the second month of student teaching. God, you're running out of time. I'm running out of time. But that's not the way that God works. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, and on the verses following, we see that God has a little bit of a different acquaintance with time than we see it. Chapter 3 and verse 8 of 2 Peter says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patience towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." I think the main thing that helps me get through and helps me adjust my patience, especially in the situations that I face, is that a lot of times we want things to happen in our time, but in reality we need to recognize that it's God's time and that he will do with it what he wills. Way too often we focus on ourselves and forget that every day is a gift given by God for us to do his will, not for us to do what we want. Every moment, every second is something that God has given us to use. And so I think if we look at it like that, like we're on borrowed time and not just on our own, it's easier for us to deal with things that don't go the way we originally planned. Because it's not ours. God's going to do with it what He wants. He's going to put us where we need to be. Sometimes we just got to accept it. So a couple of weeks after starting student teaching, I began filling out applications. And after the 5th, the 8th, the 10th, the 12th, the 15th, I began to get a little discouraged. And then out of the blue, a phone call from a school that I interviewed at asking if I wanted the position for a school that I didn't interview for. I ended up getting a position in Sparkman High School. It's about an hour from here, about 30 minutes north from Camden. Well, no, I guess an hour and a half from here. Small school, 90 kids in the entire high school. But I never would have known about it if they hadn't have called me. I originally interviewed for the Harmony Grove position, but when the school changed and the other teacher left as well, a position came open. God works in crazy ways. And like I said, I was losing patience. But God was able to say, hold on, wait a little bit longer, something's coming up. And I don't know what His plans are for me there. And that's a little frustrating. But I know He does have plans. I know He wouldn't put on me anything more than I can handle. I know the same's true for you. Let us strive each day to increase our patience. One last verse in 1 Corinthians. You'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Your patience will not be in vain. It won't be a futile effort. If we have the patience that God wants us to have, we will be able to do much more than we could ever imagined. Maybe this morning you've never experienced God's patience. Maybe you're not familiar with His love and how everlasting it may be. There's a way that we can acquaint you. You can come up and be baptized into Christ, accepting Him as Lord and Savior, washing away your sins through baptism, and become one of His children. And just like you have patience for your children, Christ has patience for you. Maybe you've experienced that patience, but you think that after all that you've done, after all the choices you've made that were poor, there's nothing you can do to come back from that. That there's no amount of patience that could handle what all you've put God through. I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. Christ's love is everlasting to everlasting. His patience beyond measure. If you would like for us to pray to you or pray for you, to come up and we'll help you in any way that we can. Sometimes you just need a shoulder to cry on or people to be there for you and ask how you're doing. If anything at all that you need, if anything at all is possible for us, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing.